We have handed out some resources for you. You are in the session for My School Data. We have our presentation is actually in the conference app as a PDF. However, we do have, I handed out at the table, a tiny URL link. It's also in the presentation. So it's in Google Slides. If you would like to access it or make a copy of it, refresh, because I've shared it with you as view only, so you should be all set to access. We also have some notepads, pens, screen wipes, and also our data dig activities that we're going to do later. We don't have enough for everyone, but know that all of our resources are linked in the slide deck today, so feel free to access those and use at your convenience. So working on our, we have many links, and you know how that goes with connectivity sometimes. Bottlenecks a little bit, so we're trying to work that out, and then we're going to get started. So thank you for joining our session today.
Okay, I think it is time. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'm Kathy Miller. I'm the Executive Director of Instructional Services and Secondary Options at Shiawassee RESD. And I have also been involved with the My School Data Project since My School Data began for many, many years. We do have a couple other colleagues that are here presenting, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves real quick before we get started. So I will catch Cheryl as she goes by.
Hi, everybody. My name is Cheryl Twitchell, and I am a My School Data Portal Analyst, so I work for CEPI. I've been with CEPI for, well, October will be 20 years. I've been on the portal for, I believe this is my eighth year now. Kind of done a little bit of everything, but my areas of specialty are assessment and accountability, staffing data, all the dashboards like the parent dashboard, our schools at a glance, and we're even getting into report builder and compare tool and different things like that. So excited to be here and hoping you guys will have at least one new thing that you can take home with you. And I'll hand it over to Rhonda.
Thanks, Cheryl. I'm Rhonda Provost, and I work with Macomb ISD in conjunction with our CEPI partners and Shiawassee with Kathy. Also, Christy Martin at Macomb ISD is part of our partnership with the My School Data Collaborative Grant. I primarily work in the resource area, keeping the resources evolving, and I'll share more of that during the presentation, but we are always looking for feedback, so if you have any, you know, call-outs you'd like to share with us today, please feel free to do so. Prior to working with My School Data, I was at Eaton Risa as the Gen Ed Director and spent 7 years at the ISD level. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Kathy, who's going to get us started, and you are in the My School Data session. Thank you for joining us today.
Okay, thank you. So today, basically, we're going to talk about My School Data, what's available in My School Data, and how you can use it for school improvement and for your MyKIP work. A lot of times there's things in this site that most people do not even realize is there. It's growing exponentially. Lots of different departments at the state are giving data into it, so you probably don't know that there's something at your fingertips that you can use. Rhonda already talked about the leadership team. We do have a statewide team that works that are all throughout the state from ISDs in collaboration with CEPI and MDE. And so this particular slide kind of shows who's on it. You might recognize a name or two. So after today, if you have some questions, these are some people you can contact that maybe are closer to your home. We are really going to look at the types of data today that are recommended to use for school improvement, what data sets are available related to those in My School Data, how to access the information and put it into MyKIP. We'll talk a little bit about that interaction, as well as how to use MySchool data for your data stories, your data-driven dialogue, and then all of the resources that are being integrated. So we have a number of quick links there that you can access afterwards that give you access to all different kinds of things, from report features and functionalities to other data areas to the data files, just so that you can kind of jump through today's content easily. So I'm going to start with a short video. Hopefully we can get it so that you can hear it.
As parents, educators, policymakers, society, we all want our children to be prepared for the future. But when faced with overwhelming statistics, we wonder how it is possible. If we break that overwhelming statistic down into manageable pieces of information and data points, we can understand how to tackle the problem. Only with data can our students navigate the increasingly global and complex maze of decisions ahead and avoid becoming part of the overwhelming statistic. We all want to answer the question, how are my kids doing? What is proven to work to get my child on track for future success? Are my students learning enough in 1 year? How much does it cost to make students college and career ready? The problem is we're using an outdated paradigm where data is inaccurate, expensive to obtain, difficult to transport, and flows in only one direction, up. In nearly every other field, they use data differently. We can visit multiple doctors in multiple places and take our data with us. Businesses strategically gather data and tailor it to their specific needs to make the best use of resources and provide the best return on their investment. We rely upon law enforcement to use data to identify issues before they become serious problems, because the stakes are high and the risks are real. To answer our questions, we need a new paradigm in education, where data is in context, reliable, timely, portable, and flows in all directions, so we can tailor data to find out exactly where we are and where to go at each turn. And we can be notified instantly if we take a wrong turn. So we can all know where we stand and that our children are on the right path. Most states now have data to answer our questions and accomplish our goal. Let's use it. Because if we're not using data to determine where our children are going, what are we using? Data is power. We can't afford not to use it.
And ironically, we often in K-12 think of my school data as assessment data. That's kind of where we go, assessment, index, accountability. But there's so much more in there that can really help guide what's going on in the district. So I guess what I'd like to know right now, just with a fist to five, I'd like to know your familiarity with the My School Data System. If you have not used it much, you can put a fist. If you think that, you know, you can train others and you've done a lot of extensive work logged in, please give me a five. I just kind of like to know where the room is at. Okay, so we have people all over. Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. So the types of data that you want to consider and use as you're doing your school improvement include data from all these different areas. Three of the four areas are in My School Data. You have attributes of that. You'll have demographic data from enrollment to subgroups to policies. You have achievement data, not only state achievement data, but also achievement data post-secondary, which is interesting. You have information of early childhood and how they're performing in third grade. So the kind of data that you have achievement is beyond just your state. How did they do on MSTEP or how did they do on SAT? We have process data that gets into some of the financial data, teacher quality, qualifications, those kinds of things. And perception data is the only one that is not really collected in the system, although we have different statewide sites that you can use for perception data. A lot of what you want to do is look at where that data intersects. And so when you're looking at your data and you're looking at achievement data, you want to look at that in relation to maybe attendance, maybe discipline and suspensions. You might want to look at different attributes. You know, how is our funding look? What kind of staff ratios do we have? What kind of programming do we have? There's a spot where it actually talks about, you know, AP classes and things like that that are being offered in a school. So you want to look across those multiple data sets and look at those intersections and see how they might interact with one another and get down to that root cause analysis. If you're familiar with MyKIP, you know, you might want to look at a score, but then you have to start unpacking it and say, why are we doing what we're doing? Why do our data results look the way they do, and how do we unpack it? This is a graphic that talks about the different data systems, because sometimes people say, well, do I need a local warehouse if I have my school data? Or, you know, why do we have a data hub? What's a data hub? Did that replace my school data? And so this is really helping us see where you go for different purposes and for different things. It's like when you have a toolbox. You don't take a screwdriver to do what you need to do with a hammer. Same thing with your data systems. There's data systems have different purposes and different means, and they tell you different things. And so the state data system is my school data. That is state data that's pretty much clean data because it's been loaded. It's reportable data. It's accountable data for districts. That's a different kind of data than you're going to have in a local data warehouse. Now, you might have some data that's the data that's the same across them, but they have different purposes. And so this is kind of outlining how those purposes are different. So why would you want to use My School Data? Well, My School Data is the official source of pre-K, post-secondary, and workforce data, because there's some workforce information in there. It has multiple levels. It gives you state, ISD level, school, college level information, school level information, and it comes from multiple sources that is reported throughout the year by a school district or by a university, college, workforce, each point in time where they're turned in. It has graphs, charts, trend lines, and it's very easy and it's free. So here's some examples of the types of data that you will find in My School Data, depending on which tabs you go through. And you can see we have, like I mentioned, graduation, school finance, enrollment, teacher staffing. And that data can be used in MyKIP, especially in the areas. When you go to the MyKIP process, My School Data is part of the data discovery process. It can also be used with your measures, your interim and your end target measures. Use it for monitoring. It should be tied into some of the monitoring pieces as you go along. And then when you get to evaluation, you want to take a look at it. So at this time, I'm going to pause. And if anyone has any questions at this point before I turn it over to Rhonda.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. All right, now we're going to move into defining My School Data, the state's public official source for education data. We also have multiple levels to view, as Kathy mentioned. Regardless of entity, you can look at a statewide comparison to your local results. You can look at your ISD at large. You can also, if you have multiple buildings, say if you're looking at elementary, you can compare those multiple buildings and school buildings as well. And some of the features that are available, you can also compare, and Cheryl's going to talk more about that. But it really helps us make informed decisions. Many times realtors will use My School Data to determine where a particular homestead is located, what school district they're in. And the feature with the dashboards is really advantageous because you can have pre-populated graphs, charts, trend lines, and then download that data into spreadsheets or for whatever use you are using to share. And the website is myschooldata.org, www.myschooldata.org, and the link is there. So Kathy had a snapshot of the various sets of data that's available with My School Data. These are just a few of the examples again. And know that some of these have their own real estate on the My School Data site where there's a specific menu that you can drill down to, and we'll be sharing that throughout the day. This is where the data comes from. It really all starts at the schoolhouse when that student walks through the door as a Gen Ed student. They may have services in other areas of your school. However, all of that data comes from the schoolhouse that you report out to these various entities. And obviously, it's all through a secure process, and there's deadlines and timelines. And as users of My School Data, there are different levels of permissions that you can have as a holding an account with My School Data. We'll talk a little bit about that. So the access levels are just that. The public, I would say probably 95% of what you can gather from My School Data is on the public side. I'm often using the public side more than I'm logged in when I'm working on screenshots for presentations and such. So the public can easily go out and obtain about 95% of the data. What they can't get to is obviously drill down to the student level. That's where you need a secure login user, and it'll be based on your role or permission that you represent for that particular school or entity. And then the accountability user, they are the ones that, you know, you can see the student preview data before it comes out. That's really important if you are an administrator or in a building where you want to know what's coming out before the media shares with everyone. That's an important function that you have as a secure user. And then there's a process. You have to go through a My Login for Business. And we offer some individual customized handling with that if needed. So if you are having any issues, please let one of us know today so that we can help you troubleshoot if you have a login issue as a secure user. These are the forms that we use. All of our forms are linked here. If you don't have an account and you feel you need an account, sometimes that happens with transitions when people move and maybe they had a login at a previous position or district and you need to transfer that over, so we can help with that process. And then Kathy also mentioned that in the state we have 56 ISDs. Every ISD has a designated person that is the main contact or the account administration contact. And this is also linked here so that your ISD can also provide services to you if needed. Any questions? All right, I'm going to turn it over to Cheryl, and she's going to talk about the report features and functionality.
What button do I?
It's not the right one.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see if I can do this without messing up the buttons. All right. So I saw the hands. You guys are all experts. I don't need to be here, right? I'm going to go through some of the features in different things that you can do with My School Data. And I think a lot of you guys will know this, but it's not a bad idea to review things. Not going to beat a dead horse or anything. The types of access are public and secure. For those that are not aware, the secure access does get you access to some exclusive reports that are behind secure login only. And the biggest thing that it gets you is access to your own individual unmasked or unsuppressed data. So while the public is looking at everything and it's suppressed and it has those nice little less than 10 symbols or the asterisks or any of that stuff, you get to see the actual raw data. This is just a graphic that that kind of highlights some of the student and staffing data that's available on My School Data. Obviously, stuff that you can use for your school improvement. And the right column, for those of you that don't know, pretty much every report on My School Data has downloadable school data files. You can download the data either through the report itself or go directly to the K-12 school data file page and just download a file. And this is just kind of showing you what's available. navigating my school data, it's not, I don't think, too difficult to follow along. Along the top, we've got some connections. The number one, some connections, some support, and it's where you sign in. Connections allows you to get to a page for another application, and it's not all CEPI-centric. It's other things through through MDE and other places. But instead of having to go out of my school data, if you click on that, the drop-down will have various applications there. You click on it, and it will take you to the login page for that application. And then along two, these are our main groups, lumping the different types of data. So we've got dashboards and education focus areas, or we used to call them data stories. There's early childhood K-12, post-secondary, and workforce. So they're kind of all lumped together. And we've given you an example of the K-12 grade. If you click on that, then you're going to see basically all of the data that's available under K-12. And then if you click into students, there's all of the student data reports on my school data. There's various features in my school data, and I'll kind of go through each one of those quickly. Location and report settings. Each report, you can choose the location that you want to view, whether that's statewide, ISD, district, or school level. And then once you select your location, you go over to the right side for your report categories, and you pick the school year that you wish to view, and then any of the corresponding report categories that are available with this. We're showing you the student enrollment count report. And this one's pretty straightforward. There's just a grades and a report category menu. So you can look at all grades compared, a specific grade, whether it's kindergarten or 11th grade or whatever. And then the report category is pretty standard, where you get to see race, ethnicity, gender, English learners, economically disadvantaged, students with disabilities. Each report has a section at the top of it about this report. We can't emphasize enough that this is available. It provides really good information about what is available within the report. It's going to tell you what the report includes. It's going to tell you when the data are updated, any kind of basic information about it. If there's been historical changes through the years, you're going to see that. If you click on the tab for about this report, this one over here, you're going to see very specific data about our information about the data, and give you definitions and give you examples about how things are calculated, that kind of thing. So if you have questions about a report, if you're not sure why something is showing the way it is, start there. It may answer the questions that you have, and if it doesn't, then obviously we're available to help you. Every chart can be viewed in a snapshot or a trend view, and we're just kind of showing you what they look like. And once you render a report in either snapshot or trend view, it includes a data table directly below the graph or the chart, and it includes the data that you're seeing visually. You can download the data for any given report. If you click on the download print button within the report, you've got different ways and options to download the data. You can download it as a PDF or a CSV file, and that's going to get you the data specifically for the report settings and location that you selected. The download all data is going to then give you all of the data available for all school years for the report settings that you selected. And if you choose to do the school data file, regardless of the report settings that you selected, it gives you all of the data for that school year. And then we also have what we call additional data files. In the categories of students, special ed, staffing, and finance and district information. So these are not files that are specific to any one report. but it's an overall kind of thing. So if you pick students, if you see along the top, you've got district FTE pupil counts, you've got economically disadvantaged counts, homeless, migrant, grad drop rates, and those are just downloadable data files. It's just a dump of all of the data. There could be different business rules based on how those files are put together, but that's another option for you to go and find available data. How many people know that you can actually get a shortened bit.ly link and share it out with people? And that's right up there in that upper right-hand corner where it says share. If you've got a report that you go to often and you want to just bookmark it, grab that link and save it as a favorite. And you can get to the report very easily, or if you want to share it in an email or post it on a website or anything, it's there and available. So take advantage of that whenever you can. So we've got a couple of new tools. When I say new, a couple years or less old. The Compare tool has been out for 2 years now. But the Compare tool was added to the My School Data Redesign to replace the option from the old legacy site where you could compare one or two locations with each other. What's nice about the Compare tool is it allows you to compare up to 20 locations at a time for any given metric that you select. So it looks a little bit different. It's in a new platform or a newer platform, Power BI. So it's got a little bit of a different feel. The location menus and stuff work a little bit differently. But you've got the drop downs. You can search for your locations and you can add up to 20 at a time by a school year. And then you're able to view it as a graph or a trend line, and then there's the tables for you to view everything, and it just kind of goes across depending on how many locations you select. And off to the right, we've got a little box over there. There's also a specific, once you set the settings, you can see assessment metrics specifically, or all of the metrics on the parent dashboard if you want to compare those. And then our newest tool is Report Builder, which we're really excited about. And this allows the people that are like the real data people that like to just dig into the numbers to create custom data sets for anything that they want. And you can view multiple school years and multiple metrics at the same time and create your own report and download those. And I think last but not least, we just want to bring to your attention the report catalog. This is available; it's a resource available out there. It includes every single report, downloadable school data file that's available on My School Data. The table of contents is interactive, so if you click on anything in it, it takes you right to the page where the report is. And gives you information about the report, the demographics that are available, the years that are available, whether you can view it as a public or secure user. And then when available, it'll give you a quick, at a glance of what it looks like. That's available in the support menu at the top of the navigation bar. If you click on that, then you are going to see the report catalog. I think it's the very last item in that menu. And this is just the links to all the resources that we've been talking about. Any questions? All right, then I'm going to turn it back over to Kathy.
Thanks, Cheryl. Kind of two other things I want to really highlight that Cheryl was talking about before we get into our examples. If I can get this to back up. There it goes. Two things. This report catalog, if you have not gone in it, I really encourage you to go in it. The reason why is when you go in there, on the table of contents, you at a glance can see all the different types of data that are in there and all the different reporting for that type of data. You can then click on that link. It will jump you to a description so you can see what that report would be with a picture of the report, And then if you think, oh, I really want that report, if you click on that hyperlink, it will actually, when you're logged, even when you're not logged in, it's going to take you right there. If you're logged in, it's going to take you right back with the sticky settings to your own report. So it's a very quick way to navigate and get into different reports. And if you're using MyKIP and you've got a challenge statement, you've done your data story, you have a challenge statement, you've done some root cause, and you're like, well, I really need to know some of this information because a lot of that question is, what more data do I need? This is a good place to go to see, can I find some of this data quickly and easily? So don't underestimate how much I think that can help you. The other piece here is, notice that there is a compare tool side deck. So if you're not familiar with the report builder or the compare tool, you'll see that there's a slide deck that will take you step by step through it, and you can even give that to a school improvement team if they need some help going through it. And then we have the quick start guides that actually give you directions. So those resources are easily available that you can use, and you might find them helpful. So you've been sitting for a while, so I wanted to give you a chance to have an opportunity. If you have a computer, and we'll, fingers crossed with the way this internet's working, we're not sure you'll be able to get to do this or not. We're hoping you do. And that's part of the reason we're using so many screenshots, is we didn't want to go live because we didn't trust that we'd get it quickly. But we're going to look at an attendance example. So research tells us, we know that attendance matters and that absenteeism can vary for various reasons between groups. And so if you were in Data Everywhere yesterday when we were doing it, one of the things that we talk about is it's really important to have questions or thinking to frame your data digging. Because just going in there and digging for data with no purpose just gives you a lot of data, no information really. So here are some questions that you may have that you would want to go to My School Data to answer, such as, how many students miss school? Is that a problem in your school? How much school are they actually missing, and who are they? Why are they missing it? We can't get all of this from My School Data, but we can start getting the top level so that we have a place to start. How does it compare between student groups? Is the rate different between a different student group, a different grade level, those kinds of things? And what are the trends over time? Has something changed? So My School Data will have the attendance rate, it has chronic absenteeism rates, it has not chronic absent rate, as well as your building attendance, your grade level attendance, and your subgroup or student group attendance. So that is all available. To get there, you go to the K-12 screen and go to students. So you'll see here's K-12 across the top. Second one down is students, and here is where the attendance is. And so when you run it, and we're going to give you a moment to do that for your particular location, you go in there, you will get originally the snapshot. So you'll see here's your snapshot right here, and it tells you what your attendance rate is for now, for the year that you've selected, which defaults to the current year. And then it gives you the trend. And so you can actually see the trend over time for whatever you selected. And then you can actually break it down by grade and look at what your grades are looking like. And then by student group. So all of these are available quickly and easily using My School Data. You can also do a comparison of economically disadvantaged compared to non-economically disadvantaged. This is nice that they have this feature. This is a report we asked for a few years ago, because in the past, you used to be able to run a report that would say all students and then the subgroups. The challenge with that is, when you get all students and the subgroups, you're counting the students twice, because they're in the all students. The student group is. So this allows you to actually look at those who are in the student group compared to those who are not in the student group. And it's a more accurate example or comparison of what is really happening. So you have an activity at your table. We did hand out some paperwork or some copies of it. It's also available through the hyperlink. And we want to give you just a minute to go in and try the data dig. Some of you maybe have used the attendance and done it before, but maybe you haven't looked at like economically disadvantaged compared to non-economically disadvantaged. So go on in. There's a set of directions, and at the very bottom, and we're only doing the front right now, at the very bottom, it's asking you to kind of fill in a couple of the numbers. So right there, we're going to be asking you to look at the attendance rate, the chronically absent rate, and the not chronically absent rate. Oh, there's a couple extras. We have a few more extras up here if anybody wants copies. Move us into the next piece. So if you're not done, you'll have a moment. On the back, we talked about mobility. Mobility is another issue. And especially today is count day, so it's really important to know our kids coming to our district, leaving our district, and maybe why might that be happening. So to do mobility, you do K-12 students, and you go to schools of choice and non-resident report. That's where you get your mobility. And when you go there, you will be able to select the status. The residency status, are they inside the ISD school of choice, outside the ISD school of choice, non-resident, non-public? You can see here when I run it, it tells me what school districts the resident students are enrolled in. I know where my kids are going. I can also do an incoming compared to leaving report, which shows the number of non-residents enrolled and the number of residents enrolled elsewhere. And again, where students are going. So this would be really important as you're doing some of your school improvement because you're trying to figure out, you know, how much mobility do we have? How many kids are coming and going? Where are they going to? Why might they be leaving? And that's where mobility is down at the bottom, and you can see which grade has more mobile students. How many are mobile? How has it changed over time? So again, you have the trend, and which group have a high mobility and why. So we'll give you just another minute. On the back, you can see there's a mobility piece. I'll give you just a couple minutes, and then we're going to get into some other things like the report builder and some of the other tools for school improvement. So hopefully you had an opportunity to take a look at the mobility piece. I know we didn't give you a lot of time, but there's a lot of content and not a lot of time. So the mobility is important to consider because when you're looking at your achievement and you're doing some of your MyKIP work, I have had situations where high schoolers say, you know, a high school team, school improvement team says, you know what? We have really low achievement, and I know it's because we have so many school of choice kids coming in that's why we're having trouble. Because they're not our kids. They're just coming in, and they're probably challenging kids to begin with, so I'm going to go ahead and, you know, we just assume that that's who they are. And we're looking at we have high mobility. Well, this is back where I say, what tool do you need to use? We went into the data warehouse. We actually looked at the kids that had been in the system from K-12 compared to the kids that came into the district. Ironically, the kids that were struggling were the kids that came that had been there all that time, K-12. So that caused that team to get to a different root cause conversation, had them stop and think, wait a minute, our assumptions have been proven wrong, and we probably have something going on in the way our curriculum is laying out that the kids that are staying in our school system are missing pieces that we didn't realize were missing. But if we hadn't started with some of the mobility conversation and then dug deeper to get to the true, you know, used that and peeled it and went to the warehouse to see who those kids were, we would never have done that. We would have been trying to do school improvement, focusing on the wrong thing. We might have done it great, but we were focusing on the wrong thing, so we never were able to get any better. So it's really, really important to think about the data. You can start at this high level. It's a higher level of data, but it's pretty clean data, pretty accurate data, and then use that to start those questions of digging deeper and verifying. And it's really, really important. In education, we want to jump to conclusions. We want to jump to a solution. It's always easy to say, well, we got this problem, so we're going to do this fix. Or, you know, the neighboring district is doing this, so I think this might be a good idea. We never stop to do the process. That's why MyKIP is so nice, because MyKIP takes you through. You've got a data story. You have a challenge statement, which is your theory of action, but you really need to get to your root cause and stop and think, is what I think happening really happening, and how do I verify that before I come up with strategies and activities? Otherwise, I'm just wasting time and money. This is something that high schools often don't even know are here. This is like one of the most exciting things. You know, my title is Instructional Services and Secondary Options. I work a lot with high schools. I work with post-secondary tracks. You actually have the ability to know how many students are enrolling in college and how are they performing. What classes are they taking? What grades are they getting in those classes? That's available on My School Data for your kids. And I'll show you in just a minute. So you can actually see, where do they enroll? What colleges do they go to? What classes did they take? What grade did they get? And did they get a degree or not? Question? I don't know if any other colleges report. Do you know, Cheryl? Is it just Michigan? The post-secondary, is it only our Michigan colleges, or is it anyone through the national system? It should include the out-of-state. And private. So it's a very important piece to have, because if you're not using this data, you have this data at your fingertips, and now your high school teachers who are teaching some of this content, the algebra and the physics and the social studies areas, they can actually see how the kids are doing. Yep. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I said there's a lot of data in My School Data people don't realize. So this one I really appreciate a lot. So if you go to the post-secondary tab, there is actually a tab that says post-secondary, surprise, surprise, and you look at that tab, you can request the file. And you can request it in one of two ways. You can get the file by your high school or a file by your the university. Because university people use this as well. Post-secondary people have access and can have logins and accounts to get in. So you can look at it from either direction. And then when you get in there, you select your location for the college data file. You'll see it's a college data file on the left-hand side. You do have to have access to student-level data to do this. Yes? It's okay. I don't think, is dual enrollment reported? I don't know if it is in that file. Yes, you have to have security to get into these. Yep. Okay, so the college data files, these reports are sent as a link to the email that is on file for your account. And this is an example of what you get. So there are UICs, so there's not names, but you know the UICs if you need to look at names. I mean, you could do a match. There's a UIC, there is the year, and then it goes through, it gives you the name of the college, the course number, the name of the course, the letter grade, all the way across, how many days of the week it meets, that kind of thing. So that's all available for people. And I encourage our schools to look at it, because MyKIP is district-wide. I encourage all of our district people to look at this, all buildings, because we're a system. So we can't just expect the high school to look at this. We really need to think about, where are our kids going? Because those conversations are very different with parents in that. If we have kids going to trade schools, going to regular school, or, you know, universities, going to colleges. So it's an interesting piece to look at. And then, of course, you can do it by a university or a college. So let's say I know most of our kids are going to go to Michigan State because I'm a school near Lansing. I can actually look up Michigan State and see how the kids from my district did at Michigan State. So you can look at it like as a whole group, or you can look at it by the location. So any questions before I hand it over to Rhonda? Okay, Rhonda.
So is your learning elevated? Oh, yes. Awesome. All right, so I'm going to share another wonderful area where they all begin, early childhood. You'll notice that early childhood is the first, actually the second after the dashboards, but for grade level wise, the first menu bar. If you pull that down, you will find the early childhood landing page, which represents all information about early childhood. Now, this is going to be applicable to public school reporting. Excuse me. So if you have GSRP, Head Start, GSRP Head Start Blend, any of your early on programming, all of that will be part of the collection, the student collection for early childhood. Now, if you have, and you can see we can, you know, the participation, the continuity of service and special education for these students, and we all know the sooner they are identified with needing supports, the sooner they can be successful and on their way when they're ready for kindergarten. Our absenteeism also follows in early childhood. That's a reporting item that's collected. Program participation, pathways to kindergarten, and then with a secure login, you're able to see students that participated in early childhood programming and how they scored on the third grade step for math and reading. That's with the secure login. We did a training in the fall, a statewide training in the fall, and there were several ISDs representatives that were attending the session, and we did a data dig activity with this group in the early childhood. Many of them had never visited this menu. So this gave us opportunity to share our resources and the links that are available on the content that we've developed related to early childhood. So it was for us, we were surprised that there wasn't more awareness. And so hopefully when you leave here today, you'll have that trajectory of a student from when they enter the door as early childhood. The other area is workforce overview. This menu allows you to explore wages across a variety of educational attainments, including CTE, what field of study they attended, and then what entry level. And so you can see that workforce has its own space in the menu area as well. So these are just a couple additional areas that we wanted to point out other than just the K-12. And then our connections, as you can see, all of our entity organizations at that particular location on the menu, you can find all of these links to these various entities that are connected with My School Data that we already have available for you to just go there, click, and you're able to access their resources and websites as well. And that is evolving as we, you know, keep that updated as much as possible. And that would be through CEPI. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Cheryl. She's going to talk about accessing more files. And as you noticed, we work in collaboration with CEPI. We will be launching a survey next month. And the feedback that you share with us is part of this collaborative circle that we have with CEPI. And by informing us of what we need, it really gives us the information to make decisions that provide you with the resources that you need at the user end. So if you're part of that, we would really appreciate it. So I'm going to turn it over to Cheryl, but I just wanted to do a shout out with our collaboration.
All right, I'm going to talk a little bit more about data files. Kind of already went through this screen with you. This is if you click the download, print, button within a specific report, this screen comes up and gives you those different options to download as a PDF, a CSV, or do the school data file. I think you guys are probably very familiar with that, so I'm going to go to the next screen and kind of give you an idea. I talked about it briefly, but this is we'll show you where to get to it, the K-12 school data files page, which is just the one-stop shop for basically all of the reports within my school data, where you can go and just download a school data file without seeing any graphics or anything. You just want the data to explore, filter, do whatever, you know, build your report, and this is where you're going to go to find it. So within the K-12 grade menu, down at the bottom, you're going to see K-12 school data files. You click on that, and then on the right-hand side, that's the screen that you're going to see. You can pick any level of location. If you pick statewide, you're going to get aggregate statewide data. Then you're going to get all the ISDs, all the districts, and all the schools in Michigan in that one file. So if you want to, if you want to, you can do it by your own district. You can do it and just get all of the your district and schools within your district. You can do the ISD and get all the districts within the ISD. But if you're interested in looking at what you have compared to locations outside of your district or ISD, the statewide is the way to go. We refer a lot of people to that. You know, people will say, well, I can't see an option to get, you know, all of the schools in Michigan. Well, download the statewide file. And then after you select your location, these are downloadable by individual school year, so you have to select your school year. And then there is a report category drop-down, and in that far right, I'm not sure which one is the, okay. On the far right-hand side, there's a box there that gives you all the report categories, which is basically the student, staff, assessment and accountability, early childhood, special ed, everything that's available within that. So this is just a really good place where you can go and find your data and download that by a specific school year. And these files will include all the data for that specific location that's available for that report. So what can you do if the pre-built reports don't answer your questions? You're looking, we've got the reports out there, you can't find what you're looking for. Well, it could be that either it's not available, check and see if it is. You can use Report Builder, and we're going to go into that in a little bit more detail, to find your data, export it, and then do with it as you will. And if not, determine if it's any place else that may be available. We've got a thing down here, reminder, check your local data warehouse. That doesn't mean anything to me, but I'm sure it does to you. So we want to talk a little bit more or go a little bit more in depth about Report Builder, because that is our newest tool on My School Data, and we're really excited about it, and it's very powerful, and I think you guys can get a lot out of it. So we have, you can see here, you can explore early childhood data. So if you're interested in early childhood data, click on that, and then you can go see all the data that's available for early childhood, or K-12, or post-secondary. Down here, we have pre-built inquiries or data sets. So you can kind of see what's available there, and if you're interested in it, select that and explore that. And if that doesn't answer what you want, then just go to that broad general category and pick the one that you want, and then you can get all of the data that's available within this. And our goal is basically in all of those, I mean, we've got probably 80% of the data that's in the dynamic reports available through Report Builder. And again, this one is not limited. You can choose as many locations, as many school years to view at any given time. And then this is just once you get to the report page, if you click on Explore the K-12 data, this is what it's going to look like. And then you're going to select the school year, and again, multiples, the entity locations, and the report categories. And then once you do that, there's nothing pretty about this. There's no visuals. It's just a table. So you're going to see all of the locations and then the data that's available. And depending on how many metrics you selected, it's just going to keep going this way. And you can see it all. So if you want, if there's something specific that you're looking for, say in this example, it looks like they're looking at the graduation data, and you want to just see information like on the top 90%, I mean, or the bottom 5% or whatever, you can use this filter pane and then select your own filters and manipulate that data to see a more minute detail of information that you'd like to see. It's a really good way to narrow things down if you're really interested in seeing something one way or the other. And then last but not least, like all of our other reports, we do allow you to download your custom data set. There is a link up in the upper right corner. This is how to download your table. And you click on that, and there's instructions for you to follow to be able to do that. Now we're going to do hands-on practice, and I'm going to let Kathy kind of talk about that and lead you through it. I know of this. I don't use it very often. I think Kathy is much more of an expert on it, so I'm going to let the expert talk about it. Yes. Oh, yes, I did. Yes. So I was going to, and then I just kept going. Somebody was asking about student enrollment data. I want to give you an update. I can't give you specific dates because we're sworn to secrecy with some things, some of the more highly visible data. But coming very, 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 very soon is the 2025-26 enrollment data, as well as the 24-25 graduation and dropout data. So for those of you that have access to my school data, I would expect sometime next week it will be in preview for you to view, and it will be in preview for a week, and then it will be publicly available.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Report Builder. I don't know how many have used Report Builder, just out of curiosity? Okay, just a couple of you. So I'm going to give you a moment to go in and look at Report Builder. And there's a set of directions of how to do it. I mean, you can go in and choose your location either from a drop-down or from the search. You'll be able to sort data, filter data, and download your data. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that using, I would use the middle K-12. And I would encourage you, if you've used Report Builder, maybe to play with some of the filters and see how some of those filters work as well. Okay, due to time, I'm going to go ahead and move on. But I did go into Report Builder, and there's just a couple things I do want to bring your attention to. When you are in Report Builder, to get to the filters, you do have to do the pullout. Here's my thing here. So you can open and close the filters over on the side here. And when you do the filters and you click something, then it will filter for you. You can actually pick what you want to look at. And it'll automatically live update it for you. The other thing that I wanted to bring to your attention is just, let me go ahead and get this clicked and turn this off. is the download. It's a little bit tricky to get an export. So, you know, you're doing all this work and you're thinking, oh, I really want this file. And you read the directions and you're still like, I don't really know where this export is. It's actually these three little dots where it says more options. Export data is the very first option, and then you get this graphic right here, and you want to do the data with the current layout, and it will get you the export. So it is a little bit buried, so sometimes it's a little hard to find. So you don't want to do all that work, and then you've got this file, and you're like, I don't know what to do with it. So it's a three little dots, export, and then the first box, and that will get it for you. And then the third thing that I'd really like to bring to your attention on all reports is that there is an About This Report on top. And a lot of times people don't realize it's another hidden gem. When you click on it, it actually gives you comprehensive data and information about the report that you're in. Like the first page will give you an overview of what it is. And it usually tells you even what your data and all that kind, you know, when it was downloaded, what the data is about. Using the report, it gives you ideas of how you could use it. And then about the data is the part where it's giving you, you know, the information specifically about the data. So if you're wondering, it's always nice to use that. It's kind of hidden as well, because when it isn't expanded, you might not realize that About This Report is actually there. But I would encourage you to look at that as well, especially if you have questions about, I'm not really sure what it's reporting on. Thank you. And we don't want it expanded, because we also know that you don't want to have to scroll down every single time to see your reports. So it's kind of one of these things where, how do you make it so people know it's there? Go ahead, please. Yep. So we can keep that idea in mind. Because I know it's just, you know, it seems like whatever option we come, there's pros and cons to everything. So, but thank you for that. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead now and move into, there are some resources, again, links. There's an actual presentation, step by step, on using Report Builder. There is a presentation for Compare Tool. There's a quick start guide that's directions. So if you get back and you've got a colleague and you're like, hey, you might be interested in Report Builder, print that off and hand it to them, because that actually is a step by step guide of how to do the Report Builder. And then the activity is still there. So, moving into the MyKit piece, we have a resource. Dan Waite's here today. She's the one that put this together for us. So there's a resource here of some My School data pieces directly tied to MyKit, so you have access to that. If you have access, and if you don't, you might want to get a hold of your ISD person. If you're interested, you can go into this particular area. You go to K-12, state testing, and there's this little hidden gem called Data Tools for School Improvement. If you have that access and you go in there, you will see that you have actually a performance at a glance, demographic, statistical information, all sorts of district information, program participation for subgroups, and then contact information, as well as a whole set of questions, back to the idea that sometimes it's nice to have a question that you're trying to answer. A whole set of questions that has hyperlinks right to those reports. And then on another page, it's quick links. So I want to jump to this one, I want to jump to this one, so you can go to that landing page and quickly navigate up and down without having to go through all the drop downs and through the other direction. And MyKIP has been built with connections. So there are connections in certain reports that you can actually import when you're in MyKIP. You go into add your data set, you can actually upload from My School Data. And so you'll see where it says add data right here in that data story. It'll give you the option. In this example, here's where I click the My School Data, and I can actually then have My School Data reports here that I can see. And they're there and they're saved. Now, the other really cool thing about this is when you get to the monitoring later on, it'll actually upload a new updated version of that report for you when you do it through the monitoring tab. And so then you'll have your original one next to your My School Data one without having to rerun everything. It just does it for you, so you can see them side by side. And so here are some of the screenshots that show you some of the reports that are automatically allowed to be built in. Now, you can do outside reports. Some of the ones that we showed you might not be in that connection. You can always make them a PDF and upload them. But it's really nice if you have some of them that you can upload in there and have that graphic right at your fingertips. And so this is actually how you can add a local data set. You just pick the second option, name it, and upload it. So any questions before I hand it over to Rhonda? Okay.
All right, I'm going to zip through this in 2.5 minutes. How does that sound? So this is basically all of our outreach, communication, and our resources for My School Data. School accountability resources. In particular, you're probably going to be focusing on, I'm not sure which button to put, but the annual ed report. That's due to be posted on district websites under the transparency reporting by Friday, February 20th. So that's just a reminder. These are all resources that are available that we have connected with MDE as well as the My School Data. Here's your timeline for the AER. The resources for My School Data website, we have a special area in the support and help menu, and we have reorganized this past school year. There's four areas. These are the individuals that were part of that reorganization, and we're hoping that from our feedback from you, from survey participation, that is more user-friendly for you to get to the resources. So we now have topics available. I did try to do, with Cheryl here today, I did try to do a quick search, like if I needed to know on AER. What we're finding is it's not taking you to the My School Data resources area. It's only taking you to the report side. So we're going to do some troubleshooting on that, just to let you know. When we have these opportunities to be together face-to-face, we're also brainstorming. So all these topics are available if you go to the presentations and targeted resource area. And we have links in here for you to access as well. We also do a monthly communication. We are transitioning that to a new platform, so stay tuned for that, especially if you're a secure user, but we're looking at populating it on the website so that you can sign up as well. That mailing has probably gone out to, 600 to 800 people that were part of our network and our training, but we are transitioning to a new platform, so just give you a heads up on that. Quick Start Guide collection, we have 10. These are the ones, and as many mentioned, or Kathy and Cheryl mentioned earlier, we have these available in Report Builder, and these in particular, but they're also like step-by-step how-to guides. That's exactly what they represent. We also have courses and EduPaths available for professional learning where you can earn sketchies. These links are here. Our our self-paced course is up to 4 sketches. So we have a lot of traffic with the FERPIN compliance and the navigation. We also host technical webinars. I know Kim from Calhoun, she attends those regularly. Not picking on you, Kim, but thank you for your participation. Kim is so great. She's always providing feedback to us. We have 2 left for the school year, and those are on in May and March. So registration links are there. And then this is just where we've been, where we traveled, what audiences we're in front of, and you can see our January and February schedule there. So I talked about the update. And then today for our presentation, here's a summary of all of these resources based on the slides that were presented. So it's an easy navigation for you, as well as the beginning. We kind of did it by content and how we delivered our messages to you today. So, all right, where do I go for more information? Here you go. If you have any help requests, you have emails here to send to us depending on what level. We get back to you with those within 24 hours, so feel free to reach out and then look for our survey the month of March if you have a secure user access. And we also share that with our various stakeholder groups that have many of you that are participants. So with that, what questions might you have? All right. We appreciate your feedback from our session today. It's a quick Google form. Please share with us and enjoy the rest of the conference.